Welcome to Ever Beyond. Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are on this beautiful spinning blue and green falling down things in the desk studio. Planet. Yes, indeed. So, Planet. Now, we were talking earlier, about Lyra. So it's like, tune of the week. And, since we have a listener who calls herself Lyra, I thought I really need to bring this lady on and we need to talk. And, there's stuff that you know, Lyra, that you think everybody knows, but only you know, or, you know, you and a small number of people. So let's just talk about stuff and you'll reveal what you already know. It'll just happen. So first of all, would you like to introduce yourself? Excellent, excellent. Well, you have a lovely voice. It's lovely to have you on. Hang on, you're not online. Ah, all right. So that's the thing. Nobody's been able to hear you because, right. Let me just explain for a second. I'm running on a slightly limping system. I replaced, Ubuntu a couple of weeks ago. Just before Colleen got ill, and I haven't been able to replace it because it's a live system. It's like trying to rebuild a ship while it's still in the water. And so,
okay.
So, I apologize for that. I have to press buttons, physical buttons, rather than automatic things happen. And so nobody heard what you just said except for me. Except they,
okay.
They probably heard it bleeding over my, yeah, I know. That's right. Yeah. So now 2 minutes later, when now everybody hears this explanation, they'll know what's going on. Thank you very much, TJ, the lion farts tonight. Anyway. So welcome,
oh
welcome to your first dead air moment. We at Wolf Spirit Radio, we have a collection of dead air moments. It's, you know, 4.5 hours of silence. Some of our favorite moments of dead air. Everybody remembers
like
that one in Christmas 2013. Anyway, meanwhile.
More like pregnant pauses, right?
Yeah, sometimes. But sometimes there's dead air because, like, there'll be a pregnant pause. It's really good when somebody has a pregnant pause and that... And there's a moment that is just a little bit too long. And it's like, oh, I know this feeling. This feeling is that sinking feeling that the call's dropped and I haven't realized it for 15 seconds. Because it's suddenly gone quiet because of the lesbian. Anyway, meanwhile.
Oh, goodness. I love it.
So, yes, now everybody can hear you. So, do you want to reintroduce yourself? Having rehearsed your introduction.
Oh,
we can see it like
okay,
that. See,
sure.
Yeah, see the way you always turn it to a positive. Having rehearsed your introduction, would you like to now introduce yourself to everybody? And I'll shut the heck up.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. It's an honor to be here. I'm Lyra, and I'm calling from, as you know, Michigan, USA. And I don't know. We'll just see what happens tonight. Actually, as I'm on chat with you guys, and I know my music came back on. Hang on a second.
That's right. So, yeah, we just...
That's interesting. I just turned everything down. Okay. So as we're all together, I actually get snippets of information. And I know that not everyone knows what, I mean, we all hold different pieces to the puzzle, but as we're in chat together, you guys actually help me to open up to a more expanded remembering. So I just want to dedicate this information to all you guys, because it's because of your interacting with me that assists my intuition. So it's a group effort, I feel.
Exactly. And I was, I had that. I couldn't formulate it, and you formulated exactly exactly what you just said. That's why I ask you, you know.
That's why I had to call.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for, see,
you.
And this, right, this is the whole thing, right? This is humanity. This is the whole process. And each and every one of our listeners will have to go through this process with another person of giving them the space to step up and have their voice.
Lovely.
So it worked, and there's a big fear about it, but the fear is completely unfounded.
You're right. They're really, I don't know that it's really a fear, but whatever that little hurdle is individually, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, this is the stepping out of the box, you see. It's something that you don't normally do. And in order to get, results that you don't normally get, you have to do things that you don't normally do.
And you're good at that, and we all like that.
Yeah, so, and that's what we call the comfort zone. And that's the box. That's the box, because it is uncomfortable or sometimes even downright painful to step outside of it. Or it has been in the past. But it's very much like those laboratory beagles that were released and they just sat in the box because they didn't know anything else. You know, they didn't know about grass or what's that stuff, you know.
I use that analogy a lot, actually, with people that I speak with. Yeah. So, awesome.
So that's where we're going with this. We're working for a kind of more universal understanding and healing of what it really means to be human, because being human is not just human. It's being, oh my God, we're human. It's like, look at all, it's like, you know, we've been standing on an island and suddenly the waters have drained away and there's all these shipwrecks around us and all these people that came before and died on the island and we never knew and their bones turned to sand and, you know, and we see all their ships lying around. And this is where we came from.
But we have to remind each other. Yeah. This is where we came from, and this is what makes us so grand as well.
Yeah.
Full of wisdom and full of the ability to forgive and to heal and to go into that neutral place. Truly, if it wasn't for my remembering of this piece and my own soul's journey, I think I would be lost right now in all this awakening process in our world. So this is important. This is important. But our humanness is what makes us so strong in this process, in the whole cosmic picture. And as well, we can bring many, many others into this place of healing and neutrality on a cosmic level as well. I think there's a lot of keys that we're holding here in this human experience currently.
Yeah, and everyone's got a part of the puzzle, as I keep saying.
Absolutely.
And as we're all recognizing, and every conversation brings up another part of each other's puzzle, you see?
Yes, right.
So first of all, I did this show, and I keep going on about it, The Lyra and Trauma, and...
excellent show. Excellent.
You were there. Tell me about your experience of that.
Oh my gosh. It was huge. It was kind of like, it was as if I were having a dream, going back into a very deep lucid dream, which I've had many times. So I was re-experiencing it more from a third person, twice removed kind of observation mode without quite the emotion. So I'm getting better at observing this as I heal more. But what I was observing was literally just watching planets explode, watching ships being loaded quickly, and the main piece that, for some reason, where I'm involved with this in this healing piece now is the women and the children that were all torn apart, something to do with all the children that ended up being marketed, that ended up being sequestered off to other civilizations, captured, enslaved. And a lot of people awakening now on the planet, they don't even remember those traumas beyond the Lyran piece. So it's like what we're doing now is we're all reconnecting from that initial trauma of being torn apart. And for some reason, a lot of us are in relationships with groups that evacuated together, and now we're for the first time coming back together. So this is a huge completion as well of this piece. But what I was feeling continuing through your wonderful show was how it's affected the other planets and the other processes that have gone on in the cosmic picture as well. And then the draconian reptilian piece, it just brought back a bunch of memories of that as well, the traumas of that. It's why we don't want to go to war anymore as a human race, because we remember this. We're starting to remember it on a cellular level more and more. So as more humans are awakening, they're not going to even realize that they're remembering this Lyran piece, but they are. So when we step up in our world at some point in the near future and demand no more war, no more injustice, this is what we're going to be standing up in accordance to, that memory. Did that answer that question?
Well, very touching. When you said no more war, I just got a whole wave of emotion. It's like, please. We've all had enough. And, you know, whatever I did to start it, I want to finish it. I want to, you know, take my part out of that and cancel, delete that order today. Okay,
exactly.
That's enough, you know.
Yeah, I've torn up the contract. So there's a lot of dense energies, regressive energies that don't want to let go of us either, because we weren't supposed to renege on the contracts. They don't want us awakening to this.
Well, screw their contracts, you know.
Exactly.
What we need to
free.
Listen to the word contract, expand. Contract, expand. Which one are we?
Okay.
We're expanding.
Yeah.
We're expand.
Yeah.
So, so whatever we do, like Wynn was saying, you know, the reptilians turn inwards and make smaller and smaller and smaller. So we bring outwards.
Yes,
and
we expand.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
beautiful.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's brilliant. Who said you had nothing to say? you sound like you've been writing this for the last 6 weeks.
Oh, no, it's just now. But, you know, I do want to thank all of you guys, because, you know, I used to consult with a couple of think tanks, and this was back in 2006. To 2009, and I completely cut ties in 2010. It seemed like the energies were getting to be more and more at odds with what there was for me to offer. And this is with the groups that were in touch with Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Al Gore and all the favorite players on that side of the fence. And some of them are sitting on the... Some of them are sitting on the fence, but because of the ones that refused out of their ego to become more empowered, I had to step away. So knowing what I've known from stepping forward in that, it's given me a larger compassion for humanity as well. And it also made me go deeper within the question, what has created this level of humanity becoming so servile to this darkness? So what I experienced from the think tanks, it was rather kind of it was a huge growing and awakening opportunity for me to go deeper. So yeah. So it's been over the last 10 years that I've been sticking my toe in and out of such things, but I've always had a general knowing of the bigger picture out there cosmically. So in a way it was easier for me to read the more expanded energies and what the cosmic weather report could be day to day. But working on the ground here, human to human, it's been a whole different challenge. And you guys have helped me a lot because I sort of come back to being myself here with this information through joining you guys. It was about 9 months ago. So I want to thank you guys.
Oh, well, I mean, again, you came in and you announced yourself, Lyra 333. So there we go.
and the 330 is just because it's my birthday. It's not anything intelligent. So it's just 330. So there we go.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And something did show me to introduce that piece through that nickname. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So,
and it was a very interesting, you know, because it all started with Tracy. It was all this.
Absolutely.
Sister Tracy did me a reading and she said this story and then I'd never heard this story before. And then somebody said, oh, Michael Tessarian's got this story. And oh, that's, yeah, there's a bit of
oh, really?
Story.
Cool. Okay.
And this story's in the Vedas. This is the story of Maldek. The destruction of Maldek is written down in the ancient Indian Vedas.
Right, right.
And there is a video called The Destruction of Atlantis. And it kind of completely mirrored this story that Tracy had read for me, you know. And she was like, wow.
Okay.
Because, you know, most of the time people who come to her say, you know, when do I get laid and when do I get paid? And that's you know, mainly, you know, when do I find my twin flame?
And how
flame?
Much does that twin need? Exactly.
When, yeah, I demand my twin flame. Okay. We'll see what we can do, madam. But, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, what a reptilian program. How
yeah.
Much?
So she read me and there was this, there was a planet that exploded and there was a time travel through the sun. And there was me being left alone on the planet. Oh, poor me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this whole story. And I was like, oh, what's that all about? And then there's this other thing about, I haven't really spoken about this bit, but, I helped some of the early humans escape from slavery or something.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And, they were sterile. And somehow I managed to jiggle them up and make them able to reproduce themselves.
Wonderful.
Or something.
Do you have history with any of the planets with the trinary star system Sirius that you know of?
I have
because
been.
That's the closest downstepping of genetic work that was not pure Anunnaki tampering. So before the human race as it is currently expressed, it is now the Lyran-Syrian aspects of our soul that is coming into play, that you could say an aspect of your higher self actually helped create and correct that genetic aspect of that group of early humans. Mm. Because that's part of your soul as well.
Yeah, it's really complicated, like self begetment.
Oh, it's very.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and like the readings that Simon can do for everybody, mm-hmm. they're fantastic, but they're kind of good for people that are just awakening. It's not too much information, but it's just enough to get you started and not get stuck in a different place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's far more interesting. In the detail, it can be far deeper in the detail, but that can be hard for some people in their early awakening process. But if you've been on path for a while, you want a little more than that. So, yeah, I think the layers upon layers, there's pieces that you have contributed, JP, that you have no idea of even still. Mm. So
I'm sure
glad to hear you aware of that.
I just keep doing it. And
it's awesome.
I just expect things to just keep chugging along because mm-hmm. I'm doing my best not to put my, not to get my ego in the way of anything.
Right. And you don't.
I do pretty well. Everybody's got stuff, but this is what we're working on. This is what, we're working on reintegrating, the ego. So for instance, my part of my ego is a joker. I'm always like making funnies and, making funny sounds and things like that. And doing silly voices. And so that has actually expanded into my, expression as a radio host,
you're a natural at it. It probably comes from a past experience on, Beetlejuice.
What happened
there? You were on the light councils in Orion as well.
I was. Mm-hmm. Remind me.
So the fun characters in Beetlejuice, the funny characters that would just sort of morph and become kind of scary and funny at the same time. Well, that's the energy of Beetlejuice.
Oh, right. Okay, so Beetlejuice is up on the top right of Orion. If mm-hmm. anybody's wondering, or as Patrick Moore, who never likes to make things sound popular or Americanized, he calls it Beetlejuice, slightly French.
Oh, I like it. Beetlejuice.
GEUCE.
Italian?
Something like that. Or sort of Italian mm-hmm. French. But anyway, Patrick Moore is the archetypal British, astronomer royal. He's the.
Right. He's funny little boy, and he speaks like this. And look over at Orion, and just behind Rigel, you'll see the Andromedan complex. And you see, it's terrible.
Anyway, kind of like
I love it.
That's crazy, man. Technology always gets in the way. Yeah,
so again, JP, you have many gifts you're bringing to this life from past experience. It's beautiful.
It's good fun. I tried to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
But
when you're tapping into that, that is your authentic self from your soul.
Yeah.
That is your higher self coming to be more integrated within your physicality.
So. Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
I've been in touch with this what I call my guides, for the last, since 1988. After I crashed the bike and died and woke up and things in 86,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
I didn't really wake up straight away. It was about 88 and, and you know what I did? I threw all of my colored clothing away and leaving just the white. I threw all my carpets away and I painted the floor white in my flat and I painted everything white and I don't know why, I burned everything that was like sentimental value. I did some crazy cleansing thing. I had no reason to do it.
You did a purging.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did a complete
purging.
Well,
that was the great harmonic convergence, I believe.
Ah.
88 was. Do you remember what month that was?
I have no idea, but I did, I did receive this message, right? And it was like, get on with your job. And I said to them,
that was your higher self kicking you.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. And it sounded, it had a very distinct sound, right? It sounded like it was coming from a long, long, long way away, kind of echoing down a long pipe, big, long, wide mm-hmm. pipe. It said one thing. It said very few words. It said energy, transforming energy. And
that's it.
I thought, oh, what does that mean?
It's like note to self, it's time.
Yeah.
Right.
So, now the thing is that voice, I'd never heard that voice before, but then I listened to a TV show called Babylon 5. And they had a creature, one of their aliens,
mm-hmm.
who was a light being that walked around in a kind of spacesuit. Like it was an energy being called Kosh. And he had this exact voice. And he said the exact type of things that this voice had, I'd heard said. So I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. And eventually that voice became, it came more like a feeling that would be a zip file of information and pictures and understandings, mm-hmm. a kind of understanding, mm-hmm. a download of right. understanding. And, I would then translate that into writing. And then I can't demonstrate it now because, my websites are offline at the moment, but, I gave them their own website, you know, it's called the crownbasedtransmissions.com. And they, you know, they talk about stuff and, you know, more and more I have understood who they may be. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's me in the future, sometimes me from another life, sometimes me in another dimension, right. sometimes my crew. from other lives, and it's like it every mm-hmm. time. And see, here's the thing. I'm put in a position. I have to be double. It's like a double blind experiment, kind of real life, kind of gameplay that I have to make these, make the right sensible choices according to what the information I know at the time, rather than knowing the whole picture.
Right. That's a certain level of mastery right there.
Yeah.
That you sort of wrote that in for yourself.
Yeah. Just to make it interesting.
And a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, it's been a while, since it, you know, cause a lot of the time in the last few years I've felt, that, mm-hmm. because I didn't realize that, and, that's what I asked for. But eventually I got to the point where I was, did I ask for this? Yeah. So I've been whining about something that I've done to my, yeah. All right. Okay. So I can now write. This is the whole thing. I can write a new script, you know.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so this script is, let's gather all the Lyrans. And let's do as much healing on all the Lyrans as possible, because this is like the Wunderwaffe of the whole human race.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Precisely. Because Lyrans are essentially who we all are. Lyrans are essentially angels.
Right.
Very, very mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. Who can change reality with a thought, angels. And this is, mm-hmm. you know, this, the whole thing, like Alex Collier is always saying, you know, we are genetic royalty. And
he's right.
It's like we don't really understand what that means. And I'm just spelling it out.
Well, I could say it's like if you're, say, a remote viewer and you can kind of see things, but they're in kind of a sketchy timeline. It's not really here. It could be. It's, you know, or it's a timeline that's past its expiration date. Well, it's like there's those remote viewers and then there's the other ones that can change the movie. And that's the angelic DNA in all of us. We can all change the movie when we awaken to a certain place. We are headed that way. We're getting there. So, and it's scaring the bejeebies out of the regressive energy.
That's right.
So you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. We can move mountains with our angelic DNA. And mm-hmm. and that's, if anything, that's going to be the last of my big campaign in this current life, however long I get to be here, to just remind each and every person how sacred and special they are, seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in a non-religious kind of dogmatic kind of way, but just
human.
Like, it's, yeah,
mm-hmm.
just, it is essentially heartfulness. The opposite... The opposite of what a Nazi is, right? The Nazi is everything but the human.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazi is 10%. This is the 10% of the box. The Nazi is the box. It's the ET. Mm-hmm. It's the Borg. It's the cube. It's the black box. It's the car bar. It's the, you know, mm-hmm. Need I go mm-hmm. on? We know the symbolism there.
And it's stuck. It's not creative and it doesn't have answers.
Yeah.
And hey, the structure is good for just a groundedness, you could say, that repetitiveness, that stuckness, that might serve for someone that's a bit ungrounded, but above and beyond that, yeah, it's just a small percentage of it. So,
yeah,
I like how you went through the Nazi subject. That helped me a lot too. So thank you for that.
Really, because I think it's, I often think, oh no, I shouldn't mention the Nazis again. You know, because everybody's
talking. Well, we're not going to, but you know what, I quit posting questions to Simon on the Simon Sundays, because my questions, he would start talking about for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, we need to put that one to bed. That's there's enough of that information out.
I'm wondering if we should actually do that. You know, if somebody's got a whole bunch of questions for Simon, well, do a whole show with them. Why not? I'm going to ask Simon about that if he's interested in doing that.
You could. And by the way, Simon is going to be opening up to greater gifts. He was being handled, and you know, I used to write in the chat, and I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings about this, but I kept seeing like a huge gray head superimposed over his head, and he had no idea about it. And then he got with it. He listened to the right people that could touch his heart, and he broke free of that. So now that he's broken free and he's on vacation currently, there's no telling where he's going to take his assisting each other awakening now. I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch Simon unfold now.
And not
being handled with the other information.
You know, I think this is the whole right.
You know,
I just want to step back.
We helped him. Okay.
Please finish, because that's a good acknowledgement of everybody. Please.
Yeah, I mean, actually, him being here with you and the show that you brought forward for Simon and that he agreed to. He was basically agreeing to being open to healing and not even being conscious of it, but his subconscious directed him, kind of like a cry for help.
Thank you. You're the first person that's ever noticed that.
Oh, that was me full time, and I hope I didn't offend people when I was sharing that, but I was one of those that was supposed to have a reading, and it happened right before the Paris false flag. So I just chalked it up to being maybe the energies were being very resistant and kind of hard to communicate with each other. So I wasn't surprised, but my counseling time with him never happened because I was shown when I made the appointment last August with Fran, and Fran and I talked on the phone directly about the appointment. So it was firm and all taken care of. But my guidance kept showing me that the energies that were overlighting Simon at that time were too threatened by those of us that are too awakened, that are awakened to a certain place, because we will find error and fault within that guidance. In other words, we were showing Simon's, the overlighting energy over him. We were showing that energy that it was time to take a hike and let Simon be. So this has been a beautiful experience with you guys and with Simon.
Excellent. That's a very interesting feedback. We've had some very interesting feedback tonight and very portent.
I got it off my chest. Now my thyroid's going to really be healthy. I mean, I've really been holding a lot about this. And it's like, I'm screaming. I hope I don't make everybody upset. But, you know, it needed to be addressed, but truly now with all this energy around the group here and with Simon and all the people around Simon, because he's around so many wonderful people that do love and care for him, the sky's the limit. So expansion will be really fun to observe.
Yes.
For him. So.
Well, we're all healing. Perhaps for me to have somebody, and you know, it's I've made unpopular choices, you know. I have.
Are you sure?
I've lost friends, but I have stuck to what I felt. was the right thing.
Right.
You know,
well, were they really friends then, right?
Well, there were people around me, let's say. And let me just say that, you know, I just do what I do and I'm doing what I can to make things better for not just for me, but for the generations after.
Right. Right, exactly. So, well, thank you for that.
And the way to do that is it's really simple. It's not like, oh, now, if I do that, if my grandparents... No. You just do what your heart tells you. Your heart knows exactly what to do.
Right. It's like tonight. It's like, hey, guys, I got to make a phone call and I got to talk about the stuff that, you know, you don't really want to hear about. So everybody's just kind of... They all just kind of took off, and they're all outside, and I got the house to myself, so good. But, it's about the future generations as well. It's not just about us, for sure. So, it's all good.
It is indeed. All good. So, let's just have a... Do we take a pause? Yeah, I think, look, we're coming to the top of the hour, and I do want to get this journey in as well. But,
okay,
you know, and
sure.
Cafe Racers 80 says, Lyra needs her own show. So,
no.
Why not?
I'm good behind the scenes. I mean, I like to lift you guys up.
I've heard this before, yeah. Okay, so you'll have the show soon, but we'll find a nice producer for you you feel very comfy with, and then... You make podcasts at first. All you need to do is use a Skype recorder and make a phone call, and then, you know, that's it.
Oh, we'll see.
Not difficult. Not difficult at all, you know. So,
time for your break?
We got a few minutes. We got about 5 minutes before the break.
Okay, cool. Time's flying. Wow.
It was great, wasn't it? So, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about because, you know, a billion year history may need to take a little more than 5 minutes to talk about, or half an hour, or whatever.
You think so? I agree. But, you know, we could probably wrap it up in about 2 hours instead of, you know.
Yeah. At least the foundation course. At least the foundation course. You see, here's the thing, right? I have my perspective. And my perspective, it seems, is that of the Pleiadian group, like with Wynne. And we decided that we're going to go and make mincemeat. You know, let's make dinosaur burgers, right? And, but there were other Lyrans who had many different experiences. And one of the things was, coming into contact with somebody who had reptilian experiences, who was taken, like one of those children that you say, the children
absolutely.
Who were taken.
Absolutely, and that's where it happened. That's where the capturing happened,
yeah.
Right.
And it was brutal. And it was almost unbearably painful to be around.
Very.
And so it showed other perspectives, and it gave me, it kind of put fuel in the motor to say,
good.
Right, this needs to be addressed. And it's something to do with everybody. It's something to do with everyone. Why the heck is everybody going crazy? It's because we've all got PTSD. Where does PTSD come from? Where does PTSD come from? Had to keep asking, asking. Where does this trauma come from? What is trauma? You know, where...
I know.
And I'd heard the story, but I'd never felt it until that day. And then... Everything else fell into place, and like you were saying, the twin flame overlay. The twin flame overlay, how they explain the feeling away, that we've got something that makes us what feels like a half of something. But we're, you know, it's not a half of something, it's like one out of billions. There's billions of us. Yeah. It's like you're standing in front of the sweet shop and you feel like something sweet and you can't, you're standing facing away. You know? It's behind you. So we have to look behind us to find who we are, because there is a larger, what we call our higher self, our Lyra self, standing behind us, and we just need to connect ourselves with it.
Exactly. Lovely.
So, I'm going to play a bit of Edwin Starr. Do you fancy that?
Sure.
Do you know Edwin Starr?
It sounds familiar. I'm sure I'll recognize it when you play it. I recognize almost everything you play.
It's the one that goes like this. Exactly. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing whatsoever.
I thought that song was from the group called War.
No, it's Edwin Starr, and the song was called War.
Gosh, I'm just half a step off there. Sorry.
That's all right. So here we are. And war is something that we're all tired of, and nobody's going to win.
Not one person. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and as he said in the middle, there's got to be a better way to, you know, to fight for freedom. You know, we can't fight for freedom, because if you fight, then, then you're caught in the, in the freedom trap. So, there's other ways.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've really had to take the last couple of years as the energies are getting to be so polarized and intense that with the densities, it's best to not engage them, period. So that means don't make people wrong necessarily. I was, you know, in my prayers every day, my meditations, I kept hoping that Simon's interference would let him alone and let him be free, and it happened. But it wouldn't have happened had we engaged it directly. It would have built it up. I'm finding that the answer to getting rid of war and these other institutions and behavioral patterns that we've all been good little soldiers and learned over the last, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years is to not engage it, which is very hard.
Yeah, that's that is the...
Pick up and say something, right?
Yeah. Well, either...
It's almost like we have to spin completely opposite of what the... existing energies have done that for so long.
I'm not sure if opposite is the way. Because,
okay.
I see what you mean. We have to stand in a different place.
Mm-hmm. Not engage any of it.
Yeah.
It's like a neutral spot that's very sacred. Okay.
Right. As you say, sacred, the Alex Collier's book, Defending Sacred Ground, that's what it was about, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's
good work, in fact. Yeah.
And, you know, standing your ground, recognizing this is who I am. I'm the kind of person that likes strawberry ice cream and not raspberry ice cream. I'm the kind of person that likes lasagna that is, you know, five layers. You know, everybody's got their preference. I like my Italian blend coffee. You know, am I speaking with Vanessa's mind here? I don't know. Bless your heart. So, and your stomach. So we've got these, fragments inside us, our mincemeat, our hamburger. The hamburger that we are is reptilian and Syrian and this and that and all sorts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying with Wynne, each one of them has a trauma. Because,
very much so.
You know, we've all been experimented on by these.
And where are the reptilians from?
Exactly. Right. So here's the thing.
That's a $1 million question.
Well, there was a show on Jessica's show. There was a point on Jessica's show where there was a race, and I think they were called the Amerthas, claimed responsibility for accidentally creating the reptilians and then flushing them away down the toilet.
Their
trauma.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
It actually ties in with what Chris Thomas shares in his works about the origins of the reptilian energies, the Anunnaki reptilian.
Mm.
And so, are just one branch
of these sort of, it's the problem is that they've got a chip on their shoulder.
And, very much. And they also feel entitled at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we were talking about before. This, the arrogance pride and self-entitlement of the reptilian, which is right. infusing humans.
Sounds like a bad spell.
It does. It really. Like, how many people have had to live with somebody like that? How many, put your hands up, people. You know, who's had a spouse of any kind or a girlfriend of any kind or a boyfriend of any kind who just turns up, puts their feet up on your sofa with their boots on? You know the mm-hmm. type. You know the type.
Right. Or takes all your chips. Right?
Yeah.
Right, Chris? I mean, really, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. The golden rule does not occur to them.
That's right.
All there is to it.
That's mm-hmm. right. And this is the thing. You know, really, the golden rule is for them. It's not for us. We know how to
right.
do this shit. You know, they have...
Oh, my goodness.
That's it, isn't it? This is
yeah.
it. And so, within us...
Yeah, beneath all that is the trauma. Under all that is an original trauma
yes.
as well.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And so... Somewhere there's a picture evolving of these major races needing to become in harmony with each other by releasing their trauma, essentially, because it's their trauma that stops them coming into the middle of the circle.
Right. But with some of this reptilian energy, or just regressive energy in general, remember how on a basic psychological profile would be that someone can only recognize in another that which they hold within themselves as well. So you could say the reptilians, you know, they feel entitled and they feel dominant and they do have a chip on their shoulder, but underneath all that, they're really like a playground bully. Just does not know what a real safe place can be. They're threatened at 24/7. That's what presents as such. When someone acts that way as a human, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would that apply to the reptilians off-world as well? I would think.
Yeah, well, this is the whole picture of them. And they are they're the insecurity force mm-hmm. of the universe, you know. Instead of security forces, they're the insecurity forces.
Right. I see them as little wounded 3 to 6-year-olds who are dirty and unkempt and hungry and crying. That's how I see them deep within. So.
So that's a very interesting observation, because that would mean that they would target those ages in order to produce those traumas that would perpetuate their trauma.
Because that was theirs. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've all got it within us. I don't know where it comes mm-hmm. from. Maybe we need to go through there as well. Maybe we need to take everybody back through all of the traumas. Interesting. What does Rodrigo
yeah.
say?
Ah.
mm-hmm. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is everybody ready? We're going to go for a journey. Yes? So.
I'm hearing some seat belts going on.
Yeah, but... buckle up, boys and girls. it's time. So you're safe and secure in the time machine, strapped in seats. They're very comfortable. They're made of memory foam. That was what NASA invented memory foam for the seats of this vehicle, this time machine. It's a boat, actually. It's very comfortable. Whatever kind of boat you like. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. So, let's press the start button. We're going to go back a long way. Okay. I like to keep it funny because it's a heavy subject.
It's heavy. Humor goes a long way. It really does.
Yeah. Lyrans are light. Yeah, I realized, you know, my name is Perrin, right? I pronounce it
right.
Perrin. Okay. P. Aaron.
I love it.
Anyway, meanwhile. So, let me just... So, let's take a nice deep breath, shall we? When I'm talking about breath, I'm going to coach everybody. This is what I do all the time. I'm going to get used to it eventually to keep saying it because it takes consciousness for me to do it as well. So we're all going to, basically, when we breathe in the same cycle, when two people breathe in the same cycle, if this is how you get intimate with a person and how you get into telepathy with a person, is you start breathing in the same place.
We're all syncing up right now.
Yeah. So let's all take a nice deep breath in. We're going to, these are really big ones, right? And they blow us up like a balloon, right? So take a nice deep breath in through your nose. And out through your mouth. And you feel your body kind of relaxing, you know, oh my God, that was good. So let's take another one in. Out through the mouth. And your body's saying, oh, that was good. Why don't you do this more often? In through the nose. Out through the mouth. And now your body's saying, all right, I'm cool with that. That's good. We can do with that. Thank you. So, this kind of leaves us in a kind of nice, calm, clear space, hopefully. Anybody who is not calm and clear yet, keep doing it. Always in through the nose and out through the mouth. This cools the breath down. This is the cooling breath. If there's any panic or negative, or you feel you're slipping away, just focus on your breathing. And the feelings will pass through you rather than overwhelm you. It's like we're floating on a river. And if you inflate yourself, you will float. If you breathe out and hold your breath, you will sink like a stone. So, to keep alive, you have to keep breathing. And we generally get away with as little as possible. But today we're going to do some breathing. We're going to breathe more. And we're going to ride and we're going to stay afloat through the breathing. I'll keep reminding you. So again, take a nice deep breath in through the nose and out through your mouth. Now, I want everybody to just bring a tiny bit of the longing feeling that you get when you think, oh, I wish I had a twin flame or a soulmate. There's a feeling there. And if we just inject a little bit into this clear space, just a tiny bit, so as not to make it overwhelming. Now you may find that you might find tears coming. That's okay. That's good. You're feeling it. So now everybody take a deep breath in through your nose. You've forgotten, haven't you? And out through your mouth. And again, in through your nose. Out through your mouth. With this feeling, it's a river of tears. It's loneliness, it's sadness, it's all those feelings. A longing for something that felt like part of you. Like it was an arm or your eyelids or something. Something essential. Feel it. It's a long time ago, and we've forgotten that that feeling is how it feels to be telepathically connected with every other being on your planet and on other planets in the solar systems. And that was what it was like on Lyra, and it was paradise. And we knew no war, and we knew no violence. So, we miss that paradise. So take a deep breath into that feeling of, I remember that and I miss that so much.
And instead of thinking about what you miss, just feel the feeling of having lost it. Just allow it to happen. Just allow it to flow through you. And feel how it's very sad. Breathe into this feeling. Breathe into it. It's a familiar feeling. You felt it all your life. You felt it all of your lifetimes. So let's go back. We go back to the first time when you felt it. When we were on Lyra. And so we're flying. Dozens of us flying back right now. Hundreds of us flying back right now to Lyra. It's almost like a highway. And as you come to the planet, take a deep breath in. And nice breath out through your nose, through your mouth. And your feet gently touch the ground. And you feel the ground beneath you and you can see the nature all around you. And as you come towards a group of people, one of them will turn around and look at you and come towards you. Maybe more than one. But one of them will stand up. One of them will come towards you. See them. You can see them. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And you'll see them. Some of us may not see them at first, but you'll feel them. You'll know the feeling. It's you. It's you. It's what you feel like. Breathe it in. Reach out with your hand and take them by one of the hands. Take them by the hand. Feel what it's like. Feel their hand in your hand. What does it feel like? Are there any sensations? Take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth. Ask them, what's your name? Take a deep breath in through your nose. As you breathe out, you'll hear their name. Make a mental note. Take a deep breath in through your nose. What color is their robe? As you breathe out, you'll see the color. Envelop yourself in that robe, in that color. Take a deep breath in. Embrace the person in front of you. Give them a big hug. It's home. Take a deep breath in through your nose. As you breathe in this color into your body, all the way to your skin. Breathe out through your mouth everything that's not that color. Breathe in through your nose the same color, this beautiful color. Now, I want you to take your new Lyran friend and take them into your life today, into your Earth life. I want you to show them around. Show them the internet. Show them the Wolf Spirit chat room. Show them the amazing life that they live now. And that it's okay. And I want you to tell them that you love them. And I want you to tell them that you're sorry that it had to happen. But it had to happen for us to get here. Say, please forgive me. All the terrible things we had to do to get here. All the terrible things we had to become to get here. Please forgive me. And thank them for coming and meeting you as you came to Lyra. Deep breath in through your nose. A long breath out. So, they may ask to stay with you here, to study, look around. You can choose, they can live with you, they can hang out. You might have a place in the garden, they might want to stay in nature. Wherever they want to be, let them have a place in your life. And a way that they can get hold of you. You could give them a mobile phone or something. So they can call you up when they need to, or you can call them. So we'll take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth and have a nice stretch and open your eyes. Well, maybe I should just play some music for a moment. Yeah, this one.
So tired.
Oh, yes. Making us feel like natural women and natural men. Here we are. Wow, yeah. Aretha Franklin, by the way, as opposed to Carole King. It's really rare when a Jewish girl writes a song and a black woman sings it, but it's brilliant when it happens. Anyhow. So, Lyra, my dear, how are you? What happened?
Well, I was having a lot of tickling in my throat, which is, it seems to be an indication of another level of healing taking place for me. The whole time I was seeing pinkish purple skies when we arrived. It was beautiful. I was in front of a little, it looked like a little, it was tall, no hair, a little, it was like an enlightened elder who stayed behind during the cataclysms. I was shown there's a whole planet that, of course, is etheric now, that ascended with these Lyran elders because they wanted to stay in the etheric and assist us until we returned.
So
I was greeted by them. You know, they look like little, well, they're tall, no hair, white robes, bluish skin, and they were welcoming us back. And what is the word, bodhisattva? What is the word for an enlightened?
Bodhisattva. Human?
Yeah, bodhisattva. It was a whole planet of that.
Yep.
So that's what I experienced. It was very beautiful.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for being, you know, you essentially a channel that I help, that helped me to sort of relate to this.
My pleasure. I'm happy to just be a conduit. So mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, I'm not sure if I had very much of an experience of it. It was just like, I'm not sure. Anyway.
Well, you were in the driver's seat. You were driving the bus.
Yeah, are we there yet?
That magic bus.
Uh-huh. So now it's coming in. Everybody, the results are coming in. So, energy, 1, 2, 3, the robe of the people I was in, kind of a lavender pink robe on the woman, a short one. There was a taller, bigger man wearing a dark purpley brown robe in the back. Cafe Racer just cried a lot. Serendipity saw no hair as well. Mona Lisa had a yellow robe and, I don't have the Land of Man. I don't know that one. His name was Marin. All right. Excellent. So, there were, this is.
Did someone say man? What's the name of?
M-A-R-I-N. Marin.
Oh, okay. Cool. The name that I got was close to that.
I think names, you know, I don't think Lyrans actually had names because we're all telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the best way we can express it on this plane is with this sound.
It's kind of an energy signature, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Who were we talking with? It was Corey Good. That's right, Corey Good. They were talking about some of the ETs, the greys, the little guys. That they choose really kind of names like Gary and Brian, you know, really ordinary names, for themselves. So that, I suppose it sounds exotic to them in the same way that Monique might sound exotic to one of us. Yeah.
Oh, that little gray Robbie. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
Little Bobby.
Yeah. Get out of my bath. All right. Anyway.
Robbie and Bobby quit fighting. Yeah.
So, okay, so that stopped for you, did it? Right, okay. Uh-huh. Well, I am, you know, if it's Ball of Confusion, I think, or Land of Confusion. Maybe it's not Land of Confusion. Everybody's sending me music, and I don't know. Anyway, Energies, the Legend of Rose Robe woman said her name was Alice. I don't know about any music. Just like, what's your Lyra experience? She had a taller man in the back, and he was called Ander. There, you know, in my journeys with people, there have been these, there are turquoisey and lavendery and these pastely,
yeah, right,
pastely colors. And, you know, these are aura mm-hmm. colors. This is the color of your aura.
Yes. And these are aura colors. Yeah.
And, I don't know if you've heard, Sean David Morton's, Vajra Chronicles. Have you ever heard him talk about this?
No.
It was something he sent me a copy of. He sent me a few copies of his bits of work in the past. And he did this Tibetan technique of leaving his body and doing a body swap with his future self. And his future self at the time was called Vajra, who lived in Nebraska.
Hmm.
So that's a place you could go.
That's interesting.
And, you know, there were very much smaller population on the planet. And when they wore robes that matched their aura color.
Okay.
And had, they were also electrically conductive. Like the stuff you wear for EMF shielding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a tinfoil suit.
Hmm.
So, There's a bit of truth to the tinfoil hat saga thing. So yeah, Lyra is being asked by Mona Lisa, what name did you get?
I got, it sounded like Manra, but it was kind of like the R was before the word man and then the R was after man. So, it was kind of not very distinctive for me. But sort of like Raman or Manra, I don't know. All I know is it looks like a planet of Tibetan monks. And they were the aura colors.
Excellent.
Yeah. I almost thought he said Raman at first. Like, Raman, are you sure?
like ramen noodles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no.
It could be, you know, Raman is, you know, there's all these names that, I used to know an Indian guy called Ram.
Right.
But, and you indeed, you're an Aries, aren't you?
My guidance is always funny.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm Aries.
Yeah, yes. Which is the symbol of the ram.
Right.
You know, we get these clues, you know.
Oh, it's always so interconnected.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
And then there's Ramtha. Who's a well-known...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, you never know. Dream Nation's got Jeffrey and just didn't want to say. Oh, bless. No, don't be shy about all this because, you know, we're all Lyrans together. But,
funny.
Yeah, but, yeah, because, it's Featherwilds, you got destruction and screaming. So when you get to that thing, I had a client a couple of days ago who was like, they couldn't get past the destruction for a while, but we persevered. And really what it's like the birthing process and you just have to sit with it and allow it to very, very slowly expand in its own time with your breath. Only assisting it.
KP, I have a quick question.
Please.
Do you think that it's from the destruction of the constellations there, the planets there in Lyra, that we're all fearing that happening again, sort of like...
Absolutely.
...the catastrophobia right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And they're holding it over us.
Out.
It's how they manipulate us.
For sure.
Because they know everything about us. They've learned what happened. You know, they had their spies and they figured out, all right, we can manipulate these beings because their system's got a bug in it, basically. You know, they saw it purely in an AI form. So, and the AI will see it as an exploit.
Right. Could I interject one more point while we're sort of on that subject of the explosion and the manipulation of it?
Yes.
Listening with Alex Collier's podcast with you on Friday, I was being shown that the information Alex was given was correct, but it's going to happen over the next 9 years, not over the next 9 weeks or 9 months. It'll be 9 years, which is actually easier to handle.
Yes, it's like a slow-mo thing going on. And it won't be like the floodwaters will just like one morning. It will be like the, it will be, you know, you'll see it coming. And like you said,
we will know enough to prepare. Right. Sorry, I got off subject too much, but.
That's right. I was a child used to have vivid dreams of being with cloud beings. I've not had these dreams for a long, long time. Now, what does this mean? The Lyrans to us, they would be kind of like cloud beings. They would be like an energy being, so higher dimensional.
Yes.
Hang on, what's this one? Zany Dragon Rider saying, I saw the purple-pink skies, but the one who came towards me had dark hair and a uniform, like Jakote.
That's that other piece.
What was that?
Well, the part where some were taken by different races.
Yeah. So this is there's the other groups, and there's gonna have to be a lot of healing, because I tell you one thing about this group, the group that were taken, and the AI is like that. It left booby traps. It leaves booby
traps.
Very
much so.
And you know, I think this is essentially what Wynn has come across, what's come up against, is one of these booby traps.
Interesting.
That's kind of what I'm feeling is, you know, and so they have multi-level booby traps, but they can be debugged, and it is a programming debugging thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, let's get it done now. You don't want the splash too fast. You know, you want to be able to see it coming and do something about it. You know, be able to walk
so
up.
So basically, as we heal this peace among us as human beings on the planet currently, we're making peace with all those past traumas within all those past different races off-world.
Yes. That's why everybody's interested in us, is because as we heal ourselves,
you're going to find that peace for them.
Yes, we heal. It's like there's an enormous, it's a galactic, Rubik's cube, or multiple puzzles, right? And everybody's got a puzzle, and every race has a puzzle, and the puzzle is figure out the trauma.
So basically, if you're having trouble within your interfamily relationship, say, you have your side of the family, your spouses and their side of the family, those are like two totally different groups. So as you can learn to cohabitate and make peace and move forward within your families, you're like a little mini galactic council.
Correct.
And
absolutely,
the peace and healing that you're able to group together as a couple in their families, it resonates out to those groups.
Bingo.
As well.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. Very good. So, wow. It's pretty wild show this evening, isn't it? It's pretty much of a ride. Okay, so Featherwilds, I saw myself on a ship. I was in uniform and watched the destruction. I was screaming in the inside. I wonder, she may not necessarily have been a reptilian, you know, she may have seen... Did the Lyrans have a space fleet? Was there a space fleet? Were there weapons? What was the... Have you any idea? You know, could we defend ourselves in any way? Was there any way that we managed to get through to the reptilians and say, look, would you stop destroying our planets, please?
I get that we had weapons, but they were very, you know, of course, very advanced compared to what we know now, but the whole reason that we weren't defending ourselves was, to a large degree, we felt responsible for the whole issue, because it was actually the Lyrans, along with some other higher frequency groups, that made the mistake. And I always am saying this in the chat room, that the Lyran wars were actually a huge cosmic oops, because what happened was something with the dissension down from Andromeda, the 12th gate was secured, but something happened with the 11th gate, and it had to do with us wanting to include more groups that were not quite ready, you could say groups beneath that, and so to keep a flood of descending energies coming up to what's known past the 12th gate as, and 13th gate as, that of heaven, as we know it from this perspective, there was a huge mistake made, because I remember, the only piece I really remember beyond the quick evacuations and the splits within families and groups and all, was that we were in a council. And in that council, it was determined that we would basically implode gate 11. And a lot of this has to do with other groups that were not completely light or completely dark, but it was within the cosmic grouping there. And so we felt like it was indirectly our direct responsibility that this whole mess happened. And it wasn't just that a group of reptilian groups from the Orion sector of the galaxy came and found us. We basically created an explosion from imploding the 11th gate, and that kickback was what got their attention. So sort of like sharks in an ocean, they could almost smell blood. And so they came to check it out. And so that's the part I remember, that we were part of the decision to protect the higher realms beyond the 12th gate. And it was a big mistake.
So was this something like a whole kind of refugee infusion?
Yes.
So is it like the same thing that's going on in the planet?
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. It goes beyond the Mars piece, which, yeah, I hear a lot of people talk about, that it's, oh, the immigrant thing is to heal the Martian piece. I'm like, no, it's to heal beyond that.
Because it's a fractal.
Cosmos.
It keeps going. Right. It keeps going. So
right. It
then has to stop. How do we collapse that wave? How do we put the little twist back in it that allows it to just de-ratchet?
From what I gather is that in 1988, it was known how to repair that 11th gate. And that I was shown when I was awakening that by 1999, when a lot of people thought we were going to go through ascension, and at one point we could have, but not enough people were awakened to do it. But the reason that a lot of psychics back then, such as Sheldon Neidel and some of these others, they were seeing that the 11th gate and 12th gate were good to go. We were ready for ascension. And then the dark energy, the regressive energy, whatever, wherever, from all the places that comes from, it came in and 9/11 occurred to tamper that down, to keep that from happening.
All right. So from what I understand, that is the moment that the Nazi timeline entered our timeline. Alex Hill has been talking about this, and he's saying, you know, it's taken us a long time to merge, because it has to be gentle, because it's such a brutal timeline.
It does. And it will be, it will happen, but it's been delicate work, yes.
That's right.
So, and I'm one of the many that knew about 9/11 before it happened, and my ex-husband was at the Pentagon, and he was transferred back out to Minot, and it saved his life. It was his office where the missile went through.
Wow.
I know. It's just too many synchronicities, but anyway.
So here you are. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, that there are a lot of Lyrans in key positions who are now starting to wake up.
Absolutely.
Bingo. How about that for a plan, folks? Nobody expected the Lyran invasion.
Yeah. Nobody's going to miss an opportunity to heal.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. Because it's like everybody's taking off their mask and everybody's the healer because everybody's a Lyran and everybody's an angel.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So when I first awakened big time, I was just sort of the cosmic cheerleader, putting my face in front of everybody. I went to all the cosmic galactic meetings with Leo Springle and just the whole host of all the guys from that first kind of cycle of groups. And I would just stick my face. Lyndall Stevens said, "Oh my gosh, you know more than I know." And I'm like, "Well, oops, I'm glad to be here. Glad to meet you." So in other words, he let me know there's a group of us too that have awakened that were sort of an emergency backup team, and that's kind of what we're all doing now. That's why it's hard for psychics to get it right what's going on.
Yeah, because it's on such higher levels of reality
right.
that it's going on. Here's the picture I'm getting, Lyra, is in your body, in our bodies, each cell is waking up and being like a kind of exploding firework. Each
right.
of the trillions mm-hmm. of cells is waking up. In the same way, each of the billions of humans are waking up. Bing, 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 pop, 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 like popcorn.
Yeah.
And at some
We're
point...
We're becoming more light-filled as that happens, too.
That's right. Well, like popcorn, we emit the light out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we got these little blue. And that light is gravity, that light is love, and it is levity. I mean, it's like it lifts you mm-hmm. up, you see? And mm-hmm. is I'm very much like the Dalai Lama just now, you see?
Nope. You're quite the master. Exactly. You were probably the Dalai Lama in a different galaxy.
Oh, Bodhisattva. I can really relate to the Bodhisattva vow. I should put it on later.
Yeah.
If I can find it.
Love it.
It's called the Chenrezig Puja. And maybe I should warn people that, you know, by listening to it, you take part in it and you become a Bodhisattva. So, you know, anybody doesn't
want to
be...
In my car, I play Ram Dass discs.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Just nothing. I really relate to Ram Dass. So, look, where are we?
And he's Jewish, too.
Oh, another Jewish boy. What is it about these Jewish boys?
Oh, it's so funny.
we've been... All right. So, that's a good question. All right. So, JB Dragon. There's a dragon. Apart from trauma, what is a trick of the psyche that stops us believing we are all supreme beings? Well, the whole thing is you stop the glamour of supreme for a start, you know, and stop all the expectations of all right. Expectations create disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The way to manifest something is you just achieve the frequency. It's easy. You pretend. You fake it till you make it. You pretend to your body, because your body will believe anything your brain will tell it, because it's that way. And you pretend to your body that, for instance, you're very good at spending money. You know, that it's no problem for you to spend money. And that money comes to you. And so it's very good. So I can use more money is easy to be for you to say. And it's true. Everybody can do it. And the more you say it, the more your body will believe it. Oh, I can use more money. Oh, yeah, I can use more money. And so somebody will say, "Oh, can you use more money?" And you say, "Yeah, I can use more money. Here you go. Go and buy that for yourself." There you go. And it happens more and more and more. And you realize that your cells are now lighting up. Bing, 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 bing. Little popcorn. Mm-hmm. Eventually you become full of kind of spiritual popcorn and you start losing weight you know, you're lighter on your feet. You bounce around rather than plod around. That's what being enlightened means, because light is light is light. Light is light as in not heavy. Light is light as in not serious. Light is light as in like sunlight.
Well, what I do is when I go out and expand and pick up whatever information or locate my consciousness somewhere to where I'm having an out-of-body experience while I'm just sitting here. And you know how you can kind of blur your eyes and you don't quite see the outlines of everything? For some reason, I've always known how to blur my brain, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think they call that dissociation.
Not quite, because I'm not associated. No, it's like I'm here, and then I'm able to tap into, you know, like say, here I'm sitting here, and a friend of mine or a dear loved one is across the country. I can kind of tap into how they're doing. I just assume everybody can do that, but you do eventually. That's what happens when you're holding that much light.
Yeah, and well, people—I tell you—people call me all the time. It's getting ridiculous, particularly on Facebook, and they're needing to be seen.
Oh,
everybody's needing to be seen, and it's
some of us you have to pry out.
yeah, but often they'll approach sideways, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want you to see me, but see me, please see me. But don't let me see you.
Funny, funny.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. JB Dragon saying, blurring your brain is a way to stay off the radar when working in the other spaces and worlds. Actually,
that's what I do.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So that reminds me, I came into the chat initially last year at some point, and I was basically sharing with you guys that I've had a few my lab experiences, and it was not negative because they couldn't affect me. And what happened was I ended up showing a lot of adult men and women and children out.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, as of 2010 and on, it's interesting that 2010 was a big pivotal year for a lot of energy, but
yeah.
It seemed like since then I was not touchable, and there could actually be energies coming in a portal in my house in my dream time. I could literally just say, oh, come on, get out of here. Enough already.
Yeah.
And it'd be like these cyborg hands with the name of a manufacturer who wasn't quite in business yet. And I could even go back and trace. So it just seems like at some point you do become protected naturally. Is that the way to explain that? But then I do a lot of work in the astral anetheric.
People talk about the Pleiadian having, I mean, so let's just talk about the Pleiadians. We became super soldiers. What people right. regard as a super soldier program, this is such an ancient idea. It's what the Pleiadians
became. But I think
there
was some of that on Sirius B as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Everybody wants their super soldiers. Who wouldn't
right.
want super soldiers? And who wouldn't want super soldiers with human DNA in them? With Lyran DNA. Imagine Lyran super soldiers. That's the Pleiadians.
Well, the heart is the best. Heart wins over any war.
Mm. So, we've been, you know, as I said, mincing ourselves up. You know, we've all been through this enormous blender. And we seem to have, you know, acquired a bit of extra family along the way. You know, we got all these different, different crazy relatives. You know, there's little Emerthas over there, and there's, you know, there's reptilians over there, and there's some Syrian dolphins there, you know, and the cats and the bloody dogs and the canines and the, you know, all of these beings that are in us and have, you know, their own trauma. Again, it's coming back. So we've got a couple here tonight. You know, we've got the dinosaurs trauma, the reptilian trauma of being abandoned and being thrown away, basically being flushed down the toilet. Teenage right. Ninja style, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the story of the reptilians, yeah? Or the,
yeah.
You know, maybe the good ones.
Yep.
And, you know, all the movies that we've had, you know, Star Wars, when Alderaan was blown up, I use that all the time because that's what happened. That's what we saw. And this is what, you know,
right.
Featherwild, that was her, point of view. She was on a ship.
Right. Right. Oh, a lot of that is triggering the healing too on a subconscious level for sure.
Mm. Don't forget the chickens.
I know. Love the chickens.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had time.
Imagine this. Imagine what's small here on the earth is actually gigantic out on in a different dimension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I often think, I joke about, you know, on planet chicken, you have Jewish mother soup. And,
oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, everything's turned around the other way, and it gets really scary.
I love it.
But do you like some chicken, some Jewish mother soup? Yeah. Delicious. It tastes just like human.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's a sideways pocket reality somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere on the far side. Yeah, that's Gary Larson land, yeah.
Exactly.
Excellent. So we're right at the end of the second hour. It's been, well, literally it's been a journey of multiple lifetimes. I hope that everybody has found a little piece more of themselves, at least, at the very least, discovered one tiny little step towards the whole hue that you are, the hue man and woman, the you man, the woo man, the yeah man. So we have many.
Ra-man.
Yeah, Ra-man. There we go. Amen Ra and the Ra-man.
Mm-hmm.
Amun. So, we're known
thank
by
you.
Many names.
Well, thank you.
It's been a very wonderful experience. Thank you so much, Lyra, for stepping up. Your race.
Thanks, and thanks for pulling my leg and putting me on the spot. I needed you to do that.
Well, look, here's the thing. You know, I can hear in your voice, you've got what it takes. You know, as soon as you called in, I thought, you got it. You can put a cogent, you know, set of sentences together. You know, you don't say, you know, you don't say like, and you don't say like, you know,
I might start saying moo and pickle dance.
Oh, well, moos and pickle dances in honor of TJ's madness.
I love it. And you know, I'm originally from Texas, so he's like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
I take it. So.
Yeah, he's in Frisco, apparently.
Yeah, Frisco, yeah. Love
he's,
it.
He's frisky in Frisco. So, this has been Ever Beyond. And, where's my thing? You keep talking. Hey, do you have a website?
What's that?
Do you have a website?
I do not, no.
Mm-hmm. I do say it slowly.
I do not have one.
No? All right. Okay. Well, maybe you could. I've got loads of websites. Maybe I could give you one.
You do, don't you? That is hilarious.
it's a thing. Because I can, you know, I think, oh, that's a good website.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, I like the idea. It's, some people gamble, some people drink alcohol. I have ideas and I make mad things, so why not?
Oh, it's fun. It's all good.
It's all creation.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm. We're
it's
creative.
And the internet, you know, guys, it's not just a dense thing that's magnetizing all this dark energy. It's actually very high frequency, too, when you just kind of blow your energy into it and just wish everybody a wonderful blessing. And it's really been a wonderful tool as well. Mm. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for instance, we can use it as a tool to explain stuff. Like, I just got a download. You know,
I've got a zip file practicing telepathy. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's how you build the planetary consciousness.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we're doing it.
You do it step by step by step by step.
We're doing it on the backs of the dark.
That's right. That's right.
Because the light is creative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what they think is they're using to control us, we're using to release ourselves.
Exactly.
So I think that's a good place to go. And say, thank you very much, Lyra. You have been so brave.
Thank you.
Much love.
Love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Beyond.